I'd like to sing our theme song in your Hymns of the Church, 277. I think we'll sing the first and last verse tonight. And you may stand again while we sing it. Could I have the pitch? Chances for saying the memory verse are running out, so do I have a lot of offers tonight? All right. Very good. Some more, right? All right. Any more? Very good. Another one? Very good. You are doing real good. Maybe there's someone else yet that wants to say it. Let's say it all together. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. All right. Thank you for your efforts in terms of the memory verse. There's nothing better that we can do than hide God's word in our hearts. Hide God's word in our hearts. Gives the Holy Spirit a wonderful opportunity to put truth into our minds. Put truth into our minds. I'd like to title the message tonight, What's in Your Pantry? Now, men probably think, well, you're not preaching to us. What's in your pantry? See if you can guess what I'm going to talk about. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I would like to read the first several verses there. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And then I should read the whole psalm probably, but I'm not going to take that time. I would like to go to the last two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Over in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5, the scripture says this, The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. I would like you this evening to think of your mind as like a pantry. When we go to the pantry, we can't get out of the pantry anything more than what we put in there. You can't get something you didn't put in there. You're going to have to put something in it. And, you know, what you put in is what you can get out. And that's the way it is with our minds. That's the way it is with our minds. If you want to be able to get good things out of the pantry of your mind, you're going to have to fill your mind with good things. If you allow old, rotten, to outdated stuff in there that doesn't belong there, that's what you're going to get out. That's what you're going to get out. Our mind is very much like a pantry. You know, in the pantry, at least back at our place, some of the things on the pantry shelf are used very often. Certain items you go in there all the time for, and there's other things that are sort of like secondary items. You don't use them as much. But the things you like the most are probably the things you're getting off the shelf the most, or at least the things you need the most. And it's a little bit that way with our minds. The things you like the most are the things you're going to be thinking about the most. It's so true. The things you like the most are the things you're going to be thinking about the most. And I just like to read something someone has written. Ideals. You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. You cannot escape the result of your thoughts, but you can endure and learn, can accept and be glad. You will realize the vision, not the idle wish, of your heart, be it base or beautiful, or a mixture of both, for you will always gravitate towards that which you secretly most love. That's a powerful statement, but it's true. You will always gravitate to that which you most seek, gravitate towards that which you secretly most love. Into your hands will be placed the exact result of your thoughts. You will receive that which you earn, no more, no less. Whatever your present environment may be, you will fall, remain, or rise with your thoughts, your vision, your ideal. You will become as small as your controlling desire, as great as your dominant aspiration. Now, I know I read that to you, and you probably couldn't grasp everything as I just read over it that quick. But there's a lot of truth to what this person wrote. You will realize the vision, not the idle wish of your heart, be it base or beautiful, or a mixture of both, for you will always gravitate towards that which you secretly most love. And what did I just say about your pantry shelf? There's things in that pantry shelf that you really like or you really need, and those are the things you regularly get off of it. And it's the same way in our minds. We gravitate towards that which we secretly most love. We gravitate towards that which we secretly most love. As I think of our pantries, you know, it's good. I know it's a good thought to my wife every year when canning season is over and the shelf is filled back up again. That's a good feeling for every mother, I believe. Glad to see when their pantry's filled with good food for another year. And you know, a mind full of good thoughts makes a happy person. A mind full of good thoughts makes a happy person. The person that is filled full of good thoughts is the thankful person. The person that is filled full of good thoughts is not the person that's all worried about themselves. They're reaching out to others. You see, they have learned something about the value of life and the blessing of service. And so their mind gravitates towards others because they have been filled with good thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and did what? Took upon himself the form of a servant. You see, he had a good pantry in his heart and in his mind, and he gravitated towards that which was a servant. He was a servant to God. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. That was his number one goal in life while here on earth, still today in a different way. I do always those things that please the Father. So his life became that kind of life because that was his focus. And I'm here to say today that if your focus is that which you love the most is what God wants of my life, you will become that kind of person. You will become that kind of person. Now, sometimes in our pantries, we make room for secondary things and then later on run out of room, at least if your pantry isn't big enough, for the more important items. And I'm here to say tonight that it is possible for us to let secondary things crowd out the most important things in our lives, the things we need to be thinking on. It's a little bit like that illustration I showed to the children tonight. And Jesus talked about that. He said, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, caught up with the wrong things and miss out on the good thing, on the best thing. And that's the way our minds are. We can make room for those secondary things, and we're trading for something that is of lesser value and will take us that way, away from those things that are better value. Now, if you walked in our pantry back home, and we got to walk in your pantry at your house, we would find some differences. There would be some differences. Because different people, and in our minds, you know, different people's minds run in different channels. There's not like there's only one channel your mind can run in. There's differences. God made us different. But it's important we channel that channel the way we normally think in a proper direction. In a proper direction. I'm glad for the variety. You know, one person can pick up the Bible and read a certain verse, and a preacher will preach a totally different message off the same verse, okay? There's a variety of channels of thought our minds can run in, and they both can be right, okay? When it's filled with good. Just because your pantry has a different food on one of the shelves than ours does, doesn't mean it's wrong for you to like beans and we don't, or however it is, you know? There's people's minds run in different channels. You know, unless you go to our house and open the pantry door, you don't know what's in there, do you? You can only guess. And that's the way it is here tonight. As I look out here in the audience, I don't know what you're thinking. I can only guess. I can only guess. But the verses I read to us tonight reveal that there is someone who does know what we're thinking. And it's like up here above us tonight, where God, or around us tonight, God is present. And if I would put it in our language, on God's computer screen are all our thoughts running past in front of Him. That's putting it in our language. I don't know how to put it in His language. But God He knows what every one of us is thinking tonight. In fact, He knows what we thought on today. And He knows what we thought on yesterday. And He knows what we thought on a week ago. And He knows what we'll think on tomorrow. That's our God. That's our God. One other thing I think of as I think of pantry shelves. A careful person has their pantry stocked in an orderly manner and keeps it clutter-free. A careful person has their pantry stocked in an orderly manner and keeps it clutter-free. And I'm here to say tonight that a disciplined person will keep their minds from being cluttered with trash, and rather fill it with good treasure, like the scripture talks about. A disciplined person will keep their mind from being cluttered with trash and rather fill it with good treasure. You know, it takes effort and hard effort to have a well-filled, orderly pantry. And it takes effort,
hard effort to have a well-filled, orderly mind. It's not something that's just going to drop in your lap. Going to take effort in terms of that. I would like to, first of all, tonight, think of some scriptural concepts about our thoughts. Back in Genesis 6, we find this written of our ancestors years ago, or of men years ago, in Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now Noah stands out in contrast to this in verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Depraved minds produce wicked lives. That's just a principle that God has laid down, and it's been that way all through the time that man has lived on this earth. Depraved minds produce wicked lives. And we could turn over to Galatians 5 and we could look at those sins of the flesh. And most of those are sins that start in the mind, or are sins of the mind. In Ephesians 2, we know what he says there. He says, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." Why am I letting that verse slip my mind? Anyhow, I have to turn there. "Walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, fulfilling the desires of the what? Of the flesh and of the mind." Of the flesh and of the mind. "And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He's saying, unless God has gotten a hold of your life, here's where you are. Here's where you are. And he's giving a picture of those who have been made alive in Christ and are no longer there, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Tonight, if your purpose and your goal is to simply fulfill the desires of your flesh and of your mind, apart from God's will for your life, you are in a depraved position. You need to repent of it. Need to repent of it. Depraved minds produce wicked lives. That is the reason why filth and debauchery in this world is running so rampant. Because there are many, many, many who are living right there. Who are living right there. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." What you think on is what you become. I emphasized that already. And I just emphasized that point again. What you think on is what you become. You know, tonight you can try to all say the right things, but if you dwell on wrong thoughts, you'll soon start doing wrong deeds. It's just the law that God has established. You can try to say the right things, but if you're dwelling on wrong thoughts, it's going to be hard for you not to produce wrong deeds. Our thought patterns reveal the condition of our hearts. Matthew 5:28, "God holds us just as accountable for lustful thoughts as for actual deeds." He gets very clear there in Matthew 5:28. Thirdly tonight, as I think of scriptural concepts about our thoughts, God knows our thoughts. Right there in Psalm 139 that I started with an outstart, God knows our thoughts. In Matthew 9 and verse 4, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said..." He knew their thoughts. He was right there with them. He knew their thoughts. 1 Chronicles 28:9, another verse in terms of it. Psalm 139, 1-4. Just various verses the scripture gives. God knows, these are scriptural concepts. God knows our thoughts. Romans 12 and verse 2. Those of you who know Romans 12 know what's right there. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Tonight, every one of us, as Christians, need the renovation that God has to offer for our minds. We need it. A renewed mind comes only through the renovation that God can work in our hearts through His Spirit. That word renew, through the renewing of your mind, means renovation. A complete change for the better. Complete change for the better. We choose tonight whether we'll listen to the heavenly master or whether we'll listen to the old master. We choose. A renewed mind comes only through the renovation that God can work. Fifthly, spiritual battles are first lost or gained in the mind. Ephesians 6, as he talks about the armor, he says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So if it's not flesh and blood, where is it? Who is it? And how do we wrestle? You see, he's picturing through the heart and the mind. And really in Scripture, as you read Scripture, heart and mind, though we think of it, our heart here and our mind there, they're united in Scripture, really, as you think of it. It's not a separated thing. They're together. Your heart and your mind are on the same page. But spiritual battles are first lost or gained in the mind. Adam and Eve, especially Eve, by what the New Testament says, lost the battle in terms of her mind. The devil was able to convince her the fruit was okay to be had, rather than God's truth. Now, the New Testament says Adam wasn't deceived, but the woman was. You see, there was a battle going on in her mind, and the devil was able to convince her that fruit was okay. Cain chose to hate. He lost the battle in his mind, and he chose to hate his brother and he took it, he went on in that and slew his brother. Because the battle was lost first in his mind. He would have never done it had he not lost out in that or chose to hate. David, as he sinned with Bathsheba, that was a battle that was lost in his mind first. Our minds are affected by what we see and what we hear. 2 Peter talks about Lot. Lot, dwelling in Sodom, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Vexed his righteous... Seems like it says something about seeing there yet, too. I can't think how that goes. Peter 2. Maybe it's just implied. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Tonight, we can't always avoid seeing or hearing bad things, but we don't need to dwell on these things. And so I'll suggest to you this 3-second rule. When a thought comes into your mind that is not right, deal with it in 3 seconds and replace it with truth, with God's will. Don't let it stay there in your mind. Don't continue to feed on that. Deal with it. I'll just call it the 3-second rule. Okay? Deal with it within 3 seconds. And put truth. Concentrate on truth instead of that wickedness. We can't help this world, and God has given us our senses. And there are things all around us. We're in this world, but we do not have to be overcome by the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In fact, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. And he says there in the end, why did I let that verse slip my mind too? It's in John 14 or 15. I have overcome the world. That's how it ends. I have overcome the world. Fear not, because I have overcome the world, you can overcome the world. That's the implication of that verse. Sixth point in terms of scriptural concepts. A healthy Christian welcomes the searchlight of God's word on his thoughts, or God's spirit in his heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Tonight, every healthy Christian will pray that same prayer that David prayed. When we are afraid of God and we know we have things in our lives we're trying to cover up, we don't want to pray that prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. In fact, Hebrews 4, verse 12 says the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is skilled in judging. That's what he's saying. Is skilled in judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. Spiritual prosperity comes from a mind filled with truth. Joshua 1:8. What did God tell Joshua? That's a wonderful verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This book of the law, here he's lifting up the word, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, that's purposely choosing to think about what God would have me apply this scripture to my heart. Meditate therein day and night. And I'd like to read what George Mueller said in terms of the word. Find that paper I have here. The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. Do you believe that? The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. He says, I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the word of God. Since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I have read the Bible through 100 times and always with increasing delight. Each time it seems like a new book to me. Great has been the blessing from consecutive, diligent, daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. George Mueller. That's quite a testimony. That's quite a testimony. I would love to have you raise your hands. How many of you have read the Bible through that have been a Christian for at least several years? How many of you have read the Bible through? I'm not going to make you raise your hands. But tonight I trust we love our Bibles. And that we meditate on God's truth. If there's anything that's going to help us be vibrant Christians, it's going to be our love for truth. It's going to be our love for truth and our dwelling on that truth, feeding our minds. Here's what D.L. Moody said. I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, "Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. Well, you want spiritual prosperity? You're going to have to get into the word of truth. And you're going to have to fill your mind with that truth on a regular basis. Meditate therein day and night. My last point. An empty mind opens a door wide open for evil. There's that parable in the New Testament where the house was cleaned and left empty, and then the spirits came back. Found this house and moved back in. Idleness is the devil's workshop. It is. That's not a false statement. Stop daydreaming. Why? Daydreaming often ends in self-pity, covetousness, unthankfulness, poor performance of the job at hand, regret, accidents. The list goes on. Those people that are not focused on those things that are good. Just out here daydreaming. Because our thoughts produce actions, just like the rich fool. He thought he could enjoy those goods for many years, and he was going to tear down his barns and build greater. And God said, "Thou fool." Or the prodigal son, or the older brother, like we looked at the last two evenings. Thoughts are what took them on the course of their lives. Thoughts took the younger son downhill. But when he was thinking about God again, and when he thought about the truth, and he came back to God, but thoughts brought those anger in that elder brother's heart and destroyed his life. Our thoughts are important. I like to think about a few victory channels here quickly. And the verse that always comes to my mind is a verse we're all familiar with, Philippians 4:8. Just open your Bibles there. Read that verse again. Philippians 4, verse 8. It's sort of like this verse is, if I would illustrate it in a physical way, it's sort of like those people, no, we don't listen to a radio, but they turn to the different channels, the different things they want to receive. And in a spiritual sense tonight, if you want a good mind, you need to turn to these channels. And you need to be on these channels. And he lists out those things that are important in our lives. Themes for thought. Think on these things. So he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, tell yourself the truth. Are you struggling with self-pity? And are you thinking that no one has it as bad as I do? That's not true. You're not telling yourself the truth. So go to God's truth and think about God's promises to you. Open up Psalm 23. What does he say? I shall not want. The psalmist was not down this road of self-pity. He had a shepherd. He had somebody he trusted in. And he realized that his shepherd was able to help him walk through the valley of the shadow of death. However long that walk was, he was going to be with him through it. He was not mired down in self-pity. He had a God that he was trusting in. Elijah got there soon after that Mount Carmel experience. He didn't stay there. God in his mercy reached out to him. And I love that picture because God never comes to him and condemns him. Rather, he points him to what he needs to be doing. And he assures him of the fact that he's not alone. There's 7,000 others. And he thought he was all by himself. There's 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knees to Baal. Well, I don't know what all you're struggling with, but please Tell yourself the truth. Go back to the truth. Find a verse that confronts the very thing you're struggling with and think on that verse. Tell yourself the truth. That's what he says here. Whatsoever things are true, and he ends the verse, think on these things. Secondly, he says, honest, honorable. In other words, honest is honorable. Do my thoughts entertain lies, or do they center on honorable ideals? You know, Judas would never have betrayed Jesus if he would have been thinking on honorable things. But because he thought the money that he could get from betraying him, he'd somehow get around to not ever, you know, nothing would happen to Jesus. Didn't work out. He was not thinking on honorable things. Whatsoever things are just. In other words, fair. Would I like to be in the other person's shoes? Just, fair. Would I like to be on the receiving end of what I'm thinking about? You know, Abraham's a prime example here. He left Lot choose. He was more than fair with Lot. He left Lot choose and he said, I'll take what's left. He said, we're not going to have these servants here quarreling. He wasn't having it. He was interested in things that were just. Whatsoever things are pure. Tonight, dear youth, our phones, the magazine racks at stores, you name it, you must make a covenant with your eyes. You must make a covenant with your eyes and with your heart. We must avoid these ungodly things. The filthy newspaper articles, suggestive stories, you name it. The reason Joseph passed the test is because he looked up. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He saw God's law, God's way, and the way of sin being a confront against God. He had a pure mind. He esteemed God's standard of purity. And we need that calling again and again. I'm glad for a brotherhood to encourage us in that. We need the help of one another in that. Fifthly, whatsoever things are lovely, those thoughts that are friendly towards. Lovely thoughts turn out to others rather than into myself. No man is more empty than the man who is full of himself. You catch that? No man is more empty than the man who is full of himself. Lovely thoughts turn out to others rather than into myself. And so you have the story of the Good Samaritan. Because his thoughts turned out to others rather than into himself, compared with the Levite and the priest who were hung on into themselves. As you think of that story, real challenge to myself. Of good report. Refuse to pass on gossip. Refuse it. We're all tempted with it. But refuse to pass on gossip. How would you like that gossip shared about you? Refuse it. He says, of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, you know, try thanksgiving every day. Endeavor to express thanksgiving every day. Thirdly, tonight I'd like to simply answer this question. How do we overcome bad thought patterns? I have a few points in terms of this, and certainly can be enlarged on. How do we overcome bad thought patterns? Maybe you have grown up in a home where you have experienced a lot of negative thought patterns by negative input into your life? How are you going to get out of that? How are you going to overcome that? And so you naturally gravitate towards that which is degrading to yourself. Tonight, we must fill our minds with truth, with good thoughts. Because what you feed on grows. So if you're going down this row of negativeness, stop. Truth arrests it. Truth arrests it. Reverse that procedure. It takes work tonight. You're not going to overcome bad thought patterns in overnight because they didn't develop overnight. It's going to take time and continual effort applying yourself to that which is right. It is interesting to me that when the devil came to Jesus and presented an untruth or something that Jesus shouldn't do, he responded with truth. He responded with truth. Was there any victory key to that? I think it's tied together. He brought truth back. He quoted Scripture. He confronted the error with God's truth. If Jesus did that, why shouldn't we? A step we can take, confront the error with truth, whatever it is. Thirdly, another thing we can do, depending how what all this involves, but I'm going to use an illustration, avoid places of special temptation. Lot did not have to vex his soul by living in Sodom. He didn't. There are places of temptation. If there's special, strong places of temptation for you and you can avoid them, you need to avoid them. There are some places we can't avoid, or there's some challenges we face. We have to do it. We have to work right there, okay? But there are other things we can choose and we can avoid. And God help us. Fourthly, analyze your thought patterns at the close of the day. Think about what you did with your mind, what you were doing with your mind through the day. And how does that compare to what God would have you be doing with your mind? If we don't ever stop and analyze, how are we going to understand where we need to change? And when we stop and analyze and we compare it with truth, then we find a course that we can go in a better course. Or little by little, as you think about, you know, I was blessed today because I chose to be thankful instead of grumbling. I chose to focus on God's goodness today, and look what that did in my life. I chose to focus on the verse I read this morning, the promise God gave me this morning, and look at what that did. You see, stopping and pondering is part of meditation, really. As you think of what God would have you be doing and the blessings that He has done for us. I am poor and needy, yet I will think upon Him. It takes time and effort to change a wrong thought pattern, so don't give up in despair just because today you didn't succeed. Again, the Scripture says, a righteous man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. The difference between a righteous man and those who quit serving God is whether they rise up again and go on. God did not tell us here tonight that if you live 100% perfection from the day you become a Christian, then I'll let you enter heaven, or none of us would be there. But God did say, I'll be with you and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And one of the things he also says over there in 1 John, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins. We have someone we can go to and again have our heart cleansed. And without that, I wouldn't be here tonight. And without that, I know there wouldn't be any other believers in this audience tonight. Sixth point, Job 22 and verse 21 says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Don't push it off. Well, I just enjoy this thing and I keep rolling it over in my mind. And you know, if you push it off, acquainting yourself now with him, you're not going to step up and rise in your thoughts. Acquaint now thyself with him. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's important that we do not push it off for tomorrow. It's too hard to deal with today. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Another real important step, according to James chapter 5, is confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. I can't emphasize that verse too much. I think it is important for us to have someone in our brotherhood, at least, that we can go to and share with and share the struggles of our soul and be blessed by collective prayer with them. Now, I like it in the assembly, okay? It's important in the assembly, but there are some things that it's best one-on-one with someone else, some of the struggles. I mean, you can be simplistic in how you share them in the brotherhood, but there's some things you need to just enter in and discuss with somebody. Open your heart to and share. But confess your faults, that ye may be healed. God wants every one of us tonight to have a clean pantry shelf. Yes, he does. God wants every one of us as Christians to be filling our minds with those things that are good, that will build character and will help us to be just people in this world. And when we are struggling in that area and we refuse to come to God for help and we refuse to seek, be open to our brethren, we're only asking for more trouble. And so my last point, as I think of how to overcome bad thought patterns, is establish an accountability program with a faithful Christian you can trust. If you are struggling and you are in the wrong thought pattern roads, I encourage you to establish an accountability program with someone in the brotherhood you can trust. It has helped many a person. It's helped many a person. We're here to help one another. You know, the amazing thing is it helps both parties if we can work together and encourage one another. These are just a few starters. You can put many more things there. The important thing tonight is that we are pursuing an organized, cleansed thought life, that our pantry shelf of our mind is being directed and under the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. So tonight I ask you the question, what's filling your pantry shelves? What's filling your pantry shelves? Are the thoughts that you are allowing to continually dwell there taking you towards God or away from God? Are the thoughts that you are allowing to dwell there being a blessing to your life and others, are making your life miserable to others? It's a direct connection. If you're struggling in relationships with others, I dare to say that you're failing in this area with your pantry shelf. It is serious tonight because God knows our thoughts, and thoughts produce actions. And actions place us either under God's blessing or outside of God's blessing. I'd like to again open it up with an invitation hymn. God knows each of us tonight. He knows right where we're at. But maybe there's a soul here who knows they have not been filling their pantry of their mind with what God would have them fill with, but rather they have been taking the road of self. And would like deliverance from that. Wants to make their need known before God and man. It's your opportunity. I'd like to again sing, "Just As I Am." Open it up. Somebody wants help in that, or maybe there's someone here that wants to come to God initially. It's your opportunity. Again, sing "Just As I Am." If you lead it.